Okay, gentlemen, we are moving on, and I'm going to try to go really fast because I want to just get to Hilchos Tzar already. So, which is Tov Kuf Yud Ches. I really aim to finish this week, all the way to the end of Siman Tov Kuf Yud Zayin. Let's see if it's manageable. Okay, Siv Tes, page 276. Yisol Sheshigat Doyroin Lechaveiroi Al Yedei En Yehudi. Somebody, okay, this is now the scenario of a Yid standing through a Goy Me'erev Yom Tov Yom Tov. So what happened? You sent a present. What a great idea. You sent a present to somebody else, but you sent it through a goy. All right. He sold Sheshigat Doyroin, a Yid who sent a gift, a present, lechaver to his friend, al yedei Yehudi, through a goy. Me'erev Yom Tov, from before Yom Tov, when his akev ein Yehudi, and the goy got delayed, be Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, ve'ivyom mechutz et chum, and he brought it from outside et chum. So basically, you were innocent. You sent it before Yom Tov, and you hoped it'll get there before Yom Tov, but the goy got held back, and therefore he only delivered it on Yom Tov. So now the halacha is, if that's the case, muta afilu lemishuv b'shvilo il ochlam, everybody's allowed to benefit from it. You can eat it, you can carry it, you can do whatever you want with it. You can not carry, but you can eat it, and everybody's permitted, because the intent was, you never, you know, it's all pre-Yom Tov instructions. But the restriction of Tchum still applies. We discussed yesterday, there's a differentiation between the eating and the moving. The moving is something which is independent isof, outside of the Tchum. If something was out of the Tchum before Yom Tov, then if it's delivered on Yom Tov within the Tchum, you're allowed to move it around. So that applies in this scenario too. But also lechol Yisrael etalton mechutz la'ba amas, mechutz le'mukeves choyma, mechutz le'mepsa shudu shukum v'chol maldira. So, but the Isra will still apply. However, we did say yesterday, any enclosed area is, the restriction doesn't apply. So whether it's a room, or whether it's an enclosed area with a wall, or whether it's an Eruv, the restriction won't apply, and it would be allowed to move it around. V'davka show you died to me small. That's if the intention was from yesterday. Teles b'seis mukts, and then there's no issa of mukta. Havelim lo yolov died to me small, but if nobody thought about it yesterday, hafal gav teles b'seis tchum, there's no issa tchum, perhaps. Also misho mukts, it will still be mukts. The whole shel Yisrael tzorich achonam ibodyom, will need achonam in its preparation. It's going to be also for everybody. Okay, let's move on to Tovkuf Tezayin, which is a slightly different scenario, which is a scenario of one Yid sending to another Yid. A Yid is allowed to send to his friend. Okay. If you want to send to your good friend an animal, or a chick, or a bird, you want to send your friend an animal, afilu chaim, even if they are alive, your good old friend, you want to send him a sheep for Yom Tov, a live sheep, afilu chaim, v'yeinois, shmonim, v'slosois, v'kitnias. Similarly, you want to send him wines, oils, all types of beans. You want to send him all kinds of items on Yom Tov. Nice idea. Have you ever, Yossi, ever sent sheep to your friend, or wine? On Yom Tov, pardon? Wine, yes. You're right. Okay. Yes, on Yom Tov, you want to send to your friend. Here we go. On Yom Tov, to send some wine. You may, but avoloitvua, but not grain. Grain, you may not send. What's the difference? Why wine? You can't send, and grain not. Absolutely, that's it. Because it requires melacha. Top of page 278. Avoloi tvo not green. Lefi, because shemechuseres tchino, it requires further melacha. It requires grinding. Shemelacha asur b'yomtev, which is also on yomtev. So you may not send something which requires melacha. Wine. No.
Why not?
That's one of the melachas that you can't. Because it's normally done in substantial quantities.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. That's really interesting. What you're asking is exactly Mishnah Berurah's question. Excellent question. So really, that's it. You're very good question. So again, the principal concept that we're learning is that wine is something which doesn't need melacha. You know, you can just drink it. Similarly, oils and even the kidneys, beans. Just go for it. Eat beans. So, but green you can't, because green means melachim need to grind it. So, Mr. Blin asks a very good question, which Mishnah Berurah asks, in the name of, who is it? Magen Mishnah, other Achoinim. But what do you mean, grain can also just be eaten without melach? Says the Mishnah Berurah, if cotton dalet, avoloi tivola, bein chitim, whether it's wheat, or shamin it, or any other kinds of grain. The afal gavin, although, the chitim, grain, ru'uyim lasim kloyes, or is even if tafshel, really you don't need to grind necessarily grain. You could just sometimes just, what did you say?
Parch
it, or you could just, it doesn't necessarily, you know, you could just cook it. Mikol mokum, nevertheless. And again, remember, we're talking about Yom Tov, which you can do all that. Can't grind it, but you can cook it and parch it. Mikol mokum, nevertheless. Came with the stomon omdis litchina, because generally, when you're looking at grain, normally, you're going to grind it. Stomon, omdis litchina, vetchina sub yom tov, and grinding is also on yom tov. Nire beilchosu shalitzerich choyl, vmechsekim isasib yom tov. What we are asking over here is, are you allowed to send? Are you allowed to deliver these items? So wine is fine, sheep's fine, oil's fine, but grain, normally when you're looking at grain, you know, Moshe sends to Beryl, Yossi sends to Shmaya, you know, they send grain, so it's like, oh, what's going on over here? He's going to grind it, because of course you can parch it and you can cook it, but that's not normally what people end up doing. Generally, people are going to grind it. Right, so that's why it's going to be awesome. Yeah. What about if somebody's got, what if it's animal food? It's something which animals could consume. If you happen to have in your back garden, which animals eat? Yeah? So say you've got chicken, that's right. Say you've got chickens in the back garden, and somebody delivers you grain. So would you say, oh, I've got chickens in my backyard, maybe it's for the chicken? We don't say that. Even if you've got animals, which would eat it, still it's awesome, because it would look, for the average person, it's going to look like you're going to do melacha. Okay. So gentlemen, can you send a bottle of wine to your friend on Yom Tov? Yes, you can. Can you send him your sheep? Yes, you can.
Can you send
your souls? Yes. Yes. You're correct. Very good. You could do that. Absolutely. The kiyah. So you're right in both accounts. You're right that it's an issue of kinyan. And you're also right that one of the eights is to bring it on Yom Tov and you eat it together. And then it's...
I want
to
give it as a gift. You've got a
problem. So there is discussions as to whether you could just bring it and you're machnate for Motzah Yom Tov, or you're machnate before. There's a way of doing it. You could just be machnate for them already before Yom Tov.
What about if you spontaneously decide you want to do it?
Yeah, so you could do your Eitzah, yeah. Or you could say, listen, at the moment it's still mine, on Motzah Shabbos, you know, you can have it. Okay, but you're right about it being a, yeah. So, Sif base. Called over Shemut Lishlach by Yom Tov. Everything which is permitted to send on Yom Tov. Lo Yishlach in a Beshur. Do not send it in a Shura. Now, a Shura is in a queue, in a long line. Dehainu Shloshab Ne'odom, three people or more. Yoisa Zacha, Ze Noisim Kelim Min Echot. What you can't do, let's say you want to send him a, what's a larger item? Perhaps you want to send as a gift on Yom Tov to your friend. Yeah, let's say, you know what, you're a very generous mood, you want to give him quite a lot of sheep. You got sheep in your back garden, you're so kind of you invited me for your Yom Tov meal, let me give you a whole sheep. So you can't do it, you can bring him a sheep, by all means, give him a sheep, it's very generous of you. But don't do it in a row, in a line, like one shepsel up behind the other, one sheep behind the other, that you can't do, because that's nire, it would appear as if you are going to a shop. Seif Ches Seif Vav, it says Beshura, Ta'af Shemilza, Venire Kamoy Lichoy Le Limkoi b'shuk. It would appear as if you're going to the market. It looks like you're going to the cattle market and you're selling your animals, which is quite, on Yom Tov, it's quite, quite inappropriate, right? You're not going to a, you know, you're not going to go to market on Yom Tov. So therefore, you may not bring all the animals in the line because that looks like you're gonna go sell them. Okay. So I didn't know that, but what it looks like when you go to the market, you're bringing the animals all in right order. When you're not going to the market, it's all over the place. Okay. Siv Gimel, Meshalchin Kelim, you're allowed to send Kelim. Now, what does Kelim normally mean?
Vessels.
Tefillas Kelim.
Clothes.
That's right. So that's one of those. So it's one of those really, really, really. In Loshen HaMishnah, Kelim is, as Mr. Berlin says, means clothing. We, in our current usage of language, Kelim means vessels. Because the brach is al tefillas kelim, but really loshna mishnah kelim means garments. So mishalchim kelim, we sent garments. Afal pi she'enam tvurim, although they are not stitched. She'em ruim l'shayin alav. So this is based on what we learned and see in the earlier sif. We said you're allowed to send gifts on Yom Tov. Now what about garments which are not fully stitched? So we differentiate between melacha and non melacha, right? The wine is fine, the oil is fine. The grain is not fine. Why is the grain not fine? Because it means melacha. So what about garments, which are not fully, if it's fully prepared, you want to bring them a nice coat, a nice tie, showing that's okay. What it needs still is final stitches. What would you say then? Permitted or not permitted? You've got your nice suit, which is not quite finished yet. You want to give it to your friend on Yom Tov. Can you do that? If it's not fully stitched yet, because you, why? Makiv patish. Because he needs melacha. Toif, yeah. So the halacha is meshalchin kelim. You're allowed to send avr b'shenu to him, even if they're not fully stitched. Shem ruuni shanelav, because you can still lean on it. Look what I'm doing right now. I'm leaning on material. So you know this could be a suit for that matter. It could be trousers. As long as you can still use it for leaning, reclining, sitting on it. Even if it's got sharpness in it, as long as it's hard, solid. Why? What does that mean? If it's sharpness, surely you can't use it. If it's sharpness, why is it okay? Very good. If it's solid, then it's okay. That's the kasha. I never understood the question on. You know, there's the famous story of the stipler. You know the story of the stipler? The stipler gone. The father of Chaim Kanievsky. The stipler gone was a brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. So in the I think he got married in the 1930s. So the Chazon Ish thought of a very good shidduch for his sister. And that was a stipler. It was a bocher Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. And he wanted to suggest his daughter, his sister, which I think his name was Miriam, he wanted to be meshadach to the stipler. So it was a great idea, and obviously sister was very excited, you know, having the brother suggesting a shidduch. So the stipler traveled, in Hono Stipler perhaps, he came from Hono Stipler, and he came all the way to visit the Chazon Ish's sister for shidduch. And they met, as the Gemara says, you've got to meet before you get engaged. And what happened was, that as they meet, as soon as they sit down, the caller-to-be is all excited to see her future potential chosen. As soon as it stands, he falls asleep. That second, he falls asleep. He, the stipler, fell asleep. That second, he said that. You did that as well?
I fell asleep.
And it was very bizarre. And she couldn't wake him up. She would she coughed gently. True story. It was a true story. And she coughed a bit and everything. And she said, this man is not this boch is not quite normal. He's, I can't wake him up. And he's not. And she walked out of the meeting. She's refusing to get engaged to him. And that was quite a revolution. It was very rebellious not to want to get engaged to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said, okay, let me sort this out. Let me find out what went on. So the Chaznish went to the Stapler, the subsequent day, and he asked him, Yaakov Yisrael, tell me, I know you. What's Pshat? Are you falling asleep when you're you know, this is a shidduch here. You traveled all the way. You know, why falling asleep? So he replied as follows. He traveled, I think it was from on a stapler, and he said, and as soon as he learned the whole previous day in yeshiva, he learned all day and all night, and he said, because I'm only going to sleep on the train, which is a long journey, one or two days non-stop journey, so I'm only going to sleep there in the train. So I might as well learn, you know, learn the whole day and all night, and I'm going to sleep on the train before I meet my color to be. So, you know, I might as well just learn through the night. And because I'm going to sleep on the train. So as soon as he learned the whole day and the whole night. And then afterwards, when he got to the train, he saw that to his great surprise, there were upholstered seats. And then he said, oh, you know, upholstered seats might be a problem of sharpness. So he tried to investigate, but he couldn't find out. Although it's not a chlevisha, but it's still a chumrah. So it's still a chumrah not to have any benefit from sharpness. He wasn't sure. Is it sharp? Not sharp. Is it seat? And then he decided, you know what? I'm not going to take a risk. I'm not going to sit on it. So he took his Mishnayos out of his pocket and he started learning. He said, I'm going to learn now. I can't sit on this. So he didn't sleep. He learned through the whole journey, which was, I don't know, another day or two full of. So he literally didn't sleep for I don't know how many days. As soon as he got to the train station, he saw his color to be. She said, why don't you sit down? And before she even had the chance to pour him a drink, first time he had sat in days, first time he, you know, and he was literally fell asleep as soon as he sat down. Mm-hmm. So that was the explanation, that's what the staff explained why. Was that the reason why you fell asleep as well? and then once the sister of the Chaznish then heard, oh wow, that's the reason why such a tremendous hasmada, and that's the reason why she said, oh well, if that's the case, obviously I want to get engaged to him, and the rest is history. Yeah, and that's how the Chaznish made a shidduch between his sister and. So I'm just saying exactly. Oh, that's where I came. That's exactly where I came from. That's right. Because over here we're learning the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there's no problem. Whoa, again, what's Shulchan Aruch saying? You're allowed to send clothing because you can always, even if you can't use it for wearing, you can always use it for leaning and reclining on it, and you know it should be okay. Now, even if it's got kilayim, even if it's got sharpness, nevertheless, you can still use it. Because if it's hard, if it's more solid, then it's no problem of sharpness. So I'm asking. It's quite a chassidish way of asking. You know, I'm asking from a story. I said, and while I was a stipler, stringent, it was solid, and that's no problem of sharpness. That's what I'm asking. The answer is.
In the story, it was a chumrah.
That's the answer. That is the answer. I actually looked into it once, and it's a chumrah. It is a chumrah. It's merely a chumrah.
There is
a chumrah, even shalai derech levisha. Yeah. Yeah, and your idea is that it's not brought down over here, I don't think. But it is a chumrah. Why we are not makpid nowadays on the chlevisha? We're not makpid. I don't know. It's
one of the. I have a question that I asked Rabbi Lieberman.
And what did he say?
He said that it's fine to use as a cushion to sit on, but you should avoid, other benefits.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever, put it on your
lap
or keep you warm.
Yeah, lying in terms, yeah. Okay, and finally, just finish off the Seif Meshalchim Tefillin. That's also very interesting that you're allowed to send on Yom Tov Tefillin. Okay, you want to give a nice, we all know how much Tefillin costs, no? It's quite.
Just like
the
shower.
Yeah, so we know how much Tefillin costs. So, you bought your Tefillin yet for your Bar Mitzvah boy? Well, he's not Bar Mitzvah yet, but. Yeah, so it costs quite a bit, no? It costs. So once you buy, you want to give a very generous present to you. They invited you for Yom Tov. That's so nice. You are giving them tefillin. Meshalchin tefillin. You have to send tefillin. Kim churim l'anichon b'chol. Since you can wear them on weekdays. So the question is, how come you can send tefillin? Is it not muktzah? The answer is because you can wear them on weekdays. It's not. So what's the answer? Well, good question. What's the answer? The Mishnah comes to rescue over here. And he tells us why you're allowed to send tefillin and Yom Tov. I think it's a very generous present. No, 1 second. The answer is in Because it's a great, yeah, here it is, in the NFC of Cotton Base. Because Kivan Shunen ever Samach Bamesh Mishalach Turunis Lechaveiroi. How is a Tzorich Simchas Yom Tov? It's a great Simchas Yom Tov. It's so expensive. It's so valuable that to send, it gives you such hana. Therefore, it's permitted. So, although you cannot actually use it, you cannot use the tefillin, obviously, on Yom Tov, but nevertheless, it's such a great pleasure, so therefore, you'll have to send it. It's so expensive.
So, other books are? Is that because it's a chetzah shel mitzvah?
The latter. Because look at what we finish, let's all finish over there with that. When the Ramo just says, "Kol kiyot tzibazeh afilu deichus rabim utal shalchan," and the Ramo tells us, in the Mishnebu in Sifkot Tezvav tells us, and we'll finish off with that, "Mutal shalchan amiri yehi b'shem Yerushalmi the only shlech tachshit in shalzav b'yom tov." Do not send your golden jewelry on Yom Tov. I mean, it might be a few reasons why it's a good idea not to send, but you may not send golden jewelry on Yom Tov. V'afilu b'shel kesef, and even silver ones, do not send. Opinion. But it appears from the Mishnah he doesn't like the idea of sending exceptionally valuable items on Yom Tov. Don't send it. Don't send you jewelry on Yom Tov because it looks like pardon? Some poskim say that it's not considered a tzorich, since it's no tzorich, it's a bit like mukta. Nobody's gonna. It's not something that normally people. Yeah. So Simchas Yom Tov looks like it's connected to the fact that it's an item of mitzvah. So tefillin is something which is valuable. Plus, it's got mitzvah purpose.
Is limiting, isn't it? Kol Yitzvah is really.
Yeah.
Just that mitzvah. Not
yeah, but I don't know if it's the mitzvah alone. You cannot send, I don't think, mitzvah items stam. If they're mukzeh, but over here, mitzvah items plus valuable, I think that's what it is. But if it's too valuable, it's just valuable in its own right, Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't send. Yeah, okay. There wouldn't be many, correct. Yeah, a silver menorah perhaps. Yeah. Okay, that's it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.